Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today as we examine 1 Corinthians 13, which is known to many as the love chapter. The word love is inserted into a vast variety of different definitions, but 1 Corinthians 13 places a firm definition on God's love and cuts to the heart of what action looks like when they are done apart from God's love. So join in the conversation as we look at examples of the violations of God's love. As we continue our discussion in 1 Corinthians 13, which is known as the love chapter, there are some warning signs given in these scripture verses that would reveal to us when love is not present. So we could evaluate our own attitude in our speech, in our actions, and in our own heart.
Sharon, it's so easy for us to violate what true love is in our own search for true love. And as you've mentioned, warning signs are one of the best signs to let us know when we're off course.
Right.
And in 1 Corinthians 13, 4b, it tells us that love does not brag. It's not boastful. It doesn't seek to make an impression or create an image for personal gain.
Right.
Rather, it uses its speech carefully and is not aggressive with me-centered thinking. True love is always other-centered thinking. But some of the ways I think we can see this today is, do we look at ourselves first and then others? Do we try to talk big? Is there ever a time that we kind of want to show off? Deep down in our heart, do we seek applause if somebody says, hey, you're doing a good job, I like what you're saying?
Well, don't we as human beings, we kind of need that encouragement. I mean, how do you separate encouragement from needing that pridefully?
Well, did the Lord need it? Did he need to be able to talk big? Did he need to be able to show off?
Well, in John 12:49, Jesus says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me.
Well, you know, he certainly knew the Greek language, didn't he, Sharon?
Yeah.
Well, do you know that the Greek word, the root Greek word for boasting is windbag?
No.
The hot air that comes out of the mouth of a proud, conceited person. And in all of the New Testament, windbag is only used once, and it's here when it shows a violation of true agape love.
A violation.
A violation.
Oh, I like that.
A violation.
A violation of true agape love. So does that mean that sometimes we use our own definition of love to express love?
Oh, most definitely, because we have a preconceived idea of what love is, and without even knowing it, many times we will go ahead and interject our definition. Of course, I love to have people say, this is a great show. We love to listen to you.
Yeah.
And you know what? It does no good if it doesn't change the heart.
That's right. That's right.
And so if the Lord Jesus didn't need that public acclaim, then our privilege is to speak the truth in love. And then the Lord takes a responsibility for how the hearers choose to implement it.
So that kind of goes to a spiritual show off. I mean, we can become spiritual show-offs, like, look at all I'm doing in ministry. Look how the Lord's using me in ministry. Look what the Lord's done in my life. So how do we break that down from being a spiritual show-off to sharing our testimony?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm going to answer it a little bit differently than how you've asked the question. And that is, in the scriptures, it tells us that we shouldn't praise ourselves, but praise should come from another one about us.
Oh, okay.
So if you, let's just say you have a preacher and he has done an excellent job on a morning sermon or Wednesday or a Sunday night sermon, then agape love is going to want to encourage him.
Right.
Because we know he will be battling the enemy in some aspect.
Okay.
And so he can enjoy hearing that the truth that he has spoken is ministering fruit in somebody's life.
Right.
But if somebody comes up and says, hey, preacher, that was really a good message, and then he sees them out there living in the world the other 6 days, that's going to not bring encouragement to him. That's going to bring grief. But if he has received praise from another for his faithfulness to the word, and that shows fruit in that person's life, then that type of praise is not ego boosting. It is an encouragement, and we are told to encourage one another.
Okay.
But we shouldn't be seeking to say, I'm a failure if I don't have 6 people call in or write in and say, that was a great job. My faithfulness and agape love is to give back to the Lord, and then he takes it for the fruit that he can work in someone else's life.
Right. Okay. So basically, if we are a testimony, we're a testimony with our life, not with our words.
Yes, but we can still encourage. We can show kindness, and that's a fruit of the Spirit. So once again, it's really up to the Holy Spirit to reveal what the heart is really seeking. And if we are applying our favorite chapter of Psalms 19, Lord, show me my hidden faults and show me my presumptuous sins, then if the hearts are not right on either end, he's faithful to get it corrected.
Okay. So again, as always, Janie, it's all about the heart.
I'm trying to find a different way to get around this, and I can't, Sharon.
All right. So the violation of love is in the boasting, big talk, show off, windbag.
Yes. That will keep you humble.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been called a windbag, but man, that brings a visual to what we really look like when we boast about things that we've done, whether we're saying that we've done it or that God's doing it through us.
And, you know, one of the correctiveness for this, Sharon, is in James, when it talks to us about not being proudful, but having a spirit of humility. Do you know humility has never caused a church split?
Oh, that's good.
And humility has never caused a member of the body of Christ to want to leave their home church because of division and hot air and being praised and blowing your own horn. Humility is an answer to the boastfulness.
Wow, that's really good. Well, Proverbs 29:23 says, love is not big-headed, but big-hearted.
That would be a loose interpretation.
Yeah.
But we'll go more to the accurateness of 1 Corinthians 4:18, where Paul is telling the Corinthians, now, some of you are puffed up as though you don't even want me to come to you. You folks are so full of yourself that you don't think you need to have anyone tell you anything more. You've got it all.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you remember who taught you from the beginning? It was me who came to you. It was Peter. It was others. You didn't come about to any of the knowledge that you have today from yourself.
Oh, that's good.
And when you realize that everything you have comes from the source who has all, Jesus Christ, it puts a pin in the balloon and you are rapidly deflated.
Deflated. And yet another visual for windbag. Oh, so basically what Paul is saying is that there's a continuation of growing that we need to do. We need to continue to grow in grace and knowledge. We don't need to have this attitude that we've arrived at a certain place and never continue to grow.
And one of the verses that you and I say quite frequently is found in 1 Timothy 1:5. And when we are making that our goal, it is that we will be working and desiring to work from a pure heart of love, a good conscience, which will hold us if we are violating a true heart of pure love, and from a sincere faith. And a sincere faith is just a singleness of focus to do nothing that doesn't require our dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, right.
So, but what is the goal? It is love.
Okay.
So Timothy 1:5 is something that we need to memorize and daily just say, Lord, is my love really coming from a heart of faith?
And does it look like your love?
Yes.
And I think that's probably one of the real eye openers that has come from us discussing this is that there are so many different definitions of love and we use it so much that we really don't consider what true love really looks like that God says love is.
Well, and we have a problem here as we come down to the end of the age. And in Hebrews 10:25, it tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more so as you see that day approaching.
Uh-huh.
And with the current issues we've had the last couple of years, we have not been able to be together. Sometimes mandatory forsaking has been mm-hmm. required because of the pandemic. And people have gotten comfortable in not coming together.
Right.
And yet that verse has not got an exclusion clause saying unless you have a virus.
Yeah.
So now we have to really realize we need each other.
Yeah.
And the heart of love is going to have to be renewed. You don't necessarily have that heart of sacrificial love when you're sitting in your chair at home watching on television with your own latte.
Right, right. And doesn't 2 Timothy 1:7 talk about the spirit of fear? And it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And this virus has caused more fear in the hearts of people than it has strengthened our faith.
Well, and fear is going to continue as things grow more and more evil. The Lord mm-hmm. has told us that in 2 Timothy chapter 3.
So that makes it even more important that we come together and exhort each other and encourage each other in the faith.
We need to be able to share our trials where we need strengthening. Mm-hmm. We need each other's wisdom from above in practical issues. And Sharon, we need to keep hope alive, and our faith is critical and vital to keep us from going astray.
Yeah.
So we need to make a stand boldly. But you know what? When you love someone intensely with God's love, you don't want to be separated.
Yeah.
You'll even take a risk.
Right.
And we see that going on in many countries today where they risk their very life to bring the gospel to those that they know that are lost, and
right.
they're doing it from a heart of sacrificial love.
Right. And that's really the definition of agape love.
Yes.
Is it's a sacrificial love. You cannot love with God's love and it not be sacrificial.
That's correct.
It can't be selfish or self-gratifying or self-indulgent in any way.
And we can't retreat when it's being challenged.
Right. Right, absolutely.
Right. So then we go on to that true love does not behave rudely or unseemingly, as some texts say unbecoming, but it basically, it's not coarse, it's not shameless, it's not thoughtless. True love doesn't allow embarrassment to others.
Or purposely try to embarrass.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we do that to each other.
Well, subconsciously, if we can put you down so that I look better, well, that's a self-satisfaction, but it feels good. And we are a society that's still looking for comfort and feel good. The church, unfortunately, no longer is more aggressive in sacrificial giving.
Well, it seems like they've taken on the cultural idea of what love is supposed to look like. instead of the sacrificial love that God commands us to have.
Well, Sharon, I tell you what, just to speak very commonplace, it's not rude. And I have found one of the most offensive things that can happen in a relationship may not be very deep, but especially in a casual relationship where somebody will just blow you off.
Yeah.
It smells like bad air. I don't want to catch the aroma of knowing that someone doesn't want to take the time to be around me. Have you ever watched a conversation where you can tell somebody is just being polite but would like to get out of that conversation or move on?
Right.
Have you also ever tried to give another Christian or saint eye contact because you may not be able to say anything, but you just want to look at them deep in the eyes and say, I care. And you can do that without words being spoken. And they won't even give you eye contact. They just pass you on by.
Well, a lot of times I think people feel uncomfortable with eye contact. They feel like that you're seeing something that they don't want you to see.
Oh, well, good expression, Sharon, because the Bible tells us that the eyes are the window of the soul. And so I look deep into someone's eyes, and if they can't look deep back at me when we're talking, then I know there's something that is embarrassing.
Or troubling.
Or feeling their conscience is working. And they don't want to be accountable to the conscience by even the look.
Right.
And you know what, Sharon? This just plain hurts.
Yeah.
When your heart's full of love and you're wanting to give and it is not received, then we're violating the truth of agape love. We are being rude. And I have a word picture here. Do you think, and Sharon, I'm going to say, this has got a little bit of sarcasm in it.
Okay.
But do
sarcasm.
Yes. So, Sharon, do you think when we get to heaven that we'll just be too busy for one another? Do you think God will be a little too busy for us and he'll tell us to go check in with one of the angels and take a number, make an appointment? See when we have time to fit us into his schedule.
Right.
Don't we do that to one another and we call it a valid reason for not getting together, but it's really an excuse?
Yeah.
Because
probably.
We just really don't really want to hang out with that particular person. But maybe that person sees something in us and they're being drawn and they need to hang out with us. And that's another opportunity of the privilege of showing agape love when it doesn't suit our own need.
Well, that really gives a different perspective on how love does not seek its own, which is the next violation of love found here in 1 Corinthians 13:5. But Janie, I have to ask, how do we hold the balance? If I have somebody calling me all the time with, I need, then I'm not getting what I need. So how do I hold that balance?
And that's a very excellent, super question. And it doesn't have an easy answer, but it does have a couple of suggestions.
Okay.
And that is, after a first visit with a person and you're listening to their words, then you start to be able to discern where some of their deeper needs are. Maybe it's a lack of really knowing Jesus past, just he died for me.
Okay.
Maybe they're focusing on their past and they can't get out of the bondage of their past. Maybe they're controlled with the current fears that are robbing them of their vitality.
Okay.
Then here's our exhortation, Sharon. Do we know the scriptures well enough to gently guide them? I don't mean take the ball peen hammer and start trying to hit the nail,
right.
But can we gently exhort them? And sometimes they just say, well, I don't understand the scriptures. In a spirit of gentleness, I will say this, do not ever come in and try to handle an unbeliever with anything more than letting them see the gentle caring of Jesus Christ. their consciences are not operating.
Okay.
And we can offend their conscience to the point that they will not want to be around a Christian. And that has happened a lot.
So we have to know the scriptures and be balanced in the scriptures to know how to discern.
And the Lord will give you guidance with each one on an individual basis. It's not a set procedure that you can do. It's a sensitivity.
Right.
The Lord didn't deal with each one of us in just a cookie cutter mold. He deals with us as individuals.
And so He always has time for us, and we need to always have time for others as well as have time for Him.
That's right. There'll be no check-in desk at heaven.
Right.
Okay.
So in Colossians 3:12 through 17, the Lord talks here about humbling ourselves and being meek and long-suffering, forgiving one another and forbearing with one another. And even as Christ forgave you, you also do. And put on love, which is the bond of perfection.
And Sharon, what was happening in the first church, when they would get together for a love feast, the people who got there first would eat all the food. They wouldn't be considerate of the people who were later.
Oh, okay.
Or at the Lord's table, they were coming in and starting to drink the wine and getting drunk. In other words, the whole purpose of taking the wine and the cup was to remember the Lord Jesus. And instead, they were just feeding their own face to the point of getting drunk.
Oh, so it was more of a feeding of the flesh than a feeding of the spirit.
They were seeking their own. All right. So those are just some examples that we can still do today. We cannot meet our own needs first. And many times we think we have to protect ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And we do, as you spoke of earlier, but we need to be willing to yield what is maybe best for us for what is best for others. Do you not sometimes, many times, yield what's best for you as Sharon? But you yield that because of what's best for the mother of Noah and Rachel and the wife of Terry?
Yes.
Okay. You don't seek your...
Okay, I see that.
Okay, you don't get your own.
That makes sense. Okay.
Okay.
That totally... I can totally relate to that in understanding how I am not seeking my own or being self-absorbed in holding the balance for taking care of myself as well as taking care of my family.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Sharon, Romans 15, the whole chapter really tells us how we are to bear with one another and love one another. It begins in Romans 14 with the weaker brother, and we all are growing on different rates.
Mm-hmm.
And in different walks, as we are all walking towards the Lord Jesus Christ and heaven. And in Romans 15:3, it says, "For even Christ did not please himself. The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." The Lord could have stayed in heaven and still accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. But we would never have known it. We would never have recognized it.
Right, okay.
So he set aside his own rights, his own comfort, his own design, and he said, "I'm going to take on flesh so that the people that I love can know what it is to have my love, to keep them from eternal damnation
and see my love and be an example and a vessel to pour out my love."
And then he tells us that as he has given to us, so we are then to go and do likewise.
That's really good. But that's all the time we have for today. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.